Grace.
Eric, you know, I wish I had some popcorn.
You know, if you listen carefully, you might be able to hear some pop because you're like willing it to come to your mouth or something.
I think so. Okay, yeah. I'm going to try real hard. I'm going to try hard.
Listen carefully over the next 2 minutes and maybe it'll start popping. But maybe the intro song might cover it up. I don't know. Oh, I hear it. Hey, let's start the show while this popcorn's popping. You ready?
Let's do it.
Grace, this weekend I was lucky enough to spend time with our two guests, even when they were barely alive. Let's talk about why on episode 55.
I'm Eric Idiot Renner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party.
We need a behind the scenes of my dance moves during the intro.
I agree. They're really phenomenal.
I record it every time. And in the next, probably next year or so, I will have enough footage to put out a movie.
Yes.
It's going to be called Grace's Behind the Scenes.
Grace's Behind the Scenes. So, dance moves.
Yeah. It's going to be a big hit, I feel.
Yeah.
You know, like Napoleon Dynamite, it was like really cheaply made and it made a lot of money. I think this will be the same thing.
Perfect. I love it. Thank you. I appreciate the support. Mm-hmm. Okay. We got a good show, right?
We do. Yeah, we do. We have, look at this beautiful guest beside me.
She just runs. Yes. And the Becky Kosek.
The Becky Kosek. Oh boy. She's got her belt out already.
Oh, it's so pretty.
It's really big.
All right. So we're going to talk about Rabid Raccoon 100 tonight. We're going to talk about your weekend. We're going to talk about what you have coming next weekend, all that fun stuff. Mm-hmm. Let's bring on our other guests just so we're all one big happy family and we can go from there. You cool with that?
Yeah. Let's do it.
So I'm going to add Derek to the stage. Derek, don't talk yet. I want to do an intro for you.
Shut it. Shut it, Derek.
So there is the Derek Heitzman. Now, let me try to do a somewhat of an intro because I know him a little bit. Derek, as you can see, Derek is a Idiot Runner fan. He's been a supporter for a long time. He's done several of the Idiot Runner races, or not races, but get-togethers at my house. Mm-hmm. And this was his first 100K event at the Rabid Raccoon that he just completed. So I think that's a good enough intro for Derek. Derek, thank you for taking the time to be on.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime. Glad you asked. So thanks for having me.
And you said you're feeling pretty good the day after. You even went for a run today?
Yeah, I did about 3.5 miles, and then I went for a swim with my daughter. So
good for you. Active recovery.
Yeah, I felt pretty good, actually. I don't know. I mean, it's different than road marathon. I've kind of always been a road runner, like, my entire life. So this is my first, you know, sanctioned trail run, really, except for cross country in high school and stuff like that. And then obviously the fun get togethers up at your house. So,
right.
But yeah, I feel pretty good. This morning waking up was a little bit rough. So it was getting out of bed, took a little bit of time. The dog was looking at me like, when the heck are you going to let me out? Why are you taking forever to get out of bed? And my legs didn't want to move, but I had to walk, you know, going down the steps, but after a few hours, I kind of loosened up and started moving around and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to give it a shot for a run. So I went out for a nice, easy 3.5 miles and snow coming down.
Ah, wow. Congratulations. And let's back up a bit. I have seen a lot of posts all over the Facebooks about this race called the Rabid Raccoon 100, which has a 100K and a 100 miler. It also has like a marathon distance, right?
It has everything. It had a couple 5Ks, a couple marathons. It had relays for the 100 miler. It had if you do a 5K and then a half marathon and then another half marathon at midnight, you do the Trashy Panda or Trash Panda. which was kind of a cool thing. But yeah, it had a plethora of options.
Very cool. So the rabid raccoon, plethora of options. Want to hear, I've, like I said, I've been seeing all the posts. I heard it was a little muddy. I heard it was a great, I've heard of this race for a couple years now. Heard that it's really well run. Let's get this out of the way. Becky, you won overall female for the 100 miler. Congratulations on that. And you have a giant belt buckle.
I do. It's very big.
Look at that thing. Oh, it's beautiful. Congratulations.
Thanks.
And Derek, you finished your first 100K. Congratulations on that. Let's back up. And where is this race? Tell us about it.
Derek, you want to take that? Do you remember?
Sure, I'll take it. So it's in southwestern Pennsylvania, almost to the Ohio border, down in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. It's kind of out there, but it is, you know, west of Pittsburgh. For me, it was about a 4.5, 5 hour drive, with two dogs and a 5 year old. So it took a little bit longer. Wow. But it's down there. You know, I live in south of Rochester, New York, but I grew up in central Pennsylvania, in south of Williamsport in the Allenwood area. But yeah, it's in southwestern Pennsylvania. Pretty, you know, decent rolly hills down in there. It's some pretty cool little park. It's in Brady's Run. I think it's called Brady's Run Recreation Center. It's a park. I forget how many acres it was, but it's a loop course, and they did a really good job with it. I thought it was really pretty. And it wasn't going to be – I kind of just registered because how Eric posted it, that they had an early registration. It was $100 for 100K or 100 miler, and I'm like, this is kind of crazy. I mean, that's really affordable. Why not? And
yeah,
give it a shot, so –
Great. And so you said looped course. What's the distance of the loop, or are there different distances?
It was a 12.5 mile loop.
Okay.
And it was kind of cool. It started and it finished inside this rec center, and this rec center was huge. It had like an ice skating rink in it, tennis courts, and it was a walking track, I think, / tennis court area. And that's where like everybody set up all their, you know, gear and stuff. And there was, in every single aid station you had to go through, it was actually in a building. So it's like kind of in and out through like a building. Yeah. It was different. So, cause I volunteered at, Twisted Branch, and I helped crew, Kip Hoffman at Eastern States. So it was definitely kind of different seeing the aid stations inside a building. I don't know if you guys ever had that at any other races you guys have done, but it was kind of neat.
It was very nice for the crews, that's for sure.
Yeah. And I think one of the coolest parts about the start and finish being in the building is you finished in the middle of this building. So you came in finally, not going to the aid station, and you crossed the finish line, and they had an announcer there and music playing, and you know, obviously cameras there. So it's just a little different than what us trail runners are used to.
Wow, that's very cool. I can hear my standard crew people right now being like, please pick that one next. Please pick that one next.
It was very nice. Yeah.
In the middle of the race area, like,
yeah,
they even had cornhole games set up. So it was kind of cool. People could do that.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. Okay. So highlights, lowlights. Becky, why don't you go first? What's highlights of the weekend and, you know, some challenges?
Highlights. I met a new friend. Her name is Abby. And here she ran Oil Creek this past year, just like I did. Nice. She ended up having some knee issues and dropped at 85 miles. So this was her first, this was her first 100 mile finish. And we were pretty similar paced, and we started talking on the first loop and kind of decided, you know, as long as we could hold it and stay together, we would kind of try to do that and have each other's company. We ran, I think, about 4.5 loops together. So that was really nice. And then slowly drifted apart. She finished, I don't know, maybe an hour behind me, I think. So
awesome. I mean, an hour behind you is still speedy.
Yeah. No.
That's a really speedy finish. So congratulations to her as well. Okay. So those are highlights, challenges, Becky.
probably the loops I had to do by myself. That's when, you know, you start, and that's when I started hurting too. Like I was really pleasantly surprised that I felt really good, like up to 60 miles. I was running everything that I wanted to run. And I mean, I went in knowing I had decent miles in, but I didn't do a lot of like hill training. I wasn't, you know, in the winter, it's harder for me to make myself work hard. So I was like, okay, I'm going to comfortably run as much as I can. So that was my thing. I wasn't worried about speed. I just wanted to keep running. And I was really pretty comfortable for a long time. And then I was not. I had IT band issues on both sides, which now knowing, because I'd had it before on the left, and I was always like real cautious, worried about it coming back. So I knew what it was as soon as it came on the right. And it was each of the steep descents. There was like three steep descents that were technical, but they were short. So they were painful every time from about three loops on. And I just knew as long as it didn't continue, the pain went away pretty much as soon as I got down the hill. So I was very, very thankful for that because I hate IT band pain.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, it is a little tougher. I know you're a school teacher, so a little tougher for you to get in training over the winter months. And typically, you don't really run 100s this time of year, right? I mean, your bread and butter is kind of fall.
Yeah, definitely later summer, fall, for sure.
Okay. But
yeah, I signed up for the same reason, like for make myself train or at least run more than I normally do over the winter. And because it was cheap. So
yeah,
it was like, well, even if I had said when I signed up that I'm going to do the 100 miler unless the weather was really nasty. And then I would have no problem dropping down to the 100K if that was an option. And I was happy with that. So when the weather turned out so beautiful, like I was super happy that we had wonderful weather. It was very nice. The mud was not such a good thing. That was definitely a negative. I'm allergic to something in the mud. So my skin literally like burned on my calves. And when I got done, it was almost like chafing, like in the shower, but it wasn't chafing. And then like, it's like hives and almost, I don't know. I took Benadryl and some hydrocortisone cream and it is getting better, but anywhere the mud was, I have that rash.
Yeah. Well, and that's a lot of the comments that I saw on the Facebooks had to do with the mud. I heard it got pretty nasty later on. Yeah. So, Derek, same question to you. Lowlights and highlights and lowlights. Tell us about it.
Highlights. I mean, just starting and, you know, going out and doing my first 100K trail run. I mean, I never would have, like I said, I was kind of always a road runner. My dad was a road runner, marathoner his whole life and still, you know, runs once his knee gets healed back up. My brother. So switching over to trails and doing it was kind of brand new for me. But it's really fun. Just so the whole experience for me in general, just being brand new. I mean, I've been running for probably close to 20 years now, but to do something like this, it was just, the whole experience was just awesome. That was definitely the highlight. I really wanted to see if I could do it to get the confidence underneath my belt. Because I did register for Twisted Branch and I wanted to see if my A goal was actually to go out and try to break 17 hours. I didn't do that, but I wanted to minimally hit faster than every cutoff for Twisted Branch, which I did. So I was really happy about that. The highlights, I mean, just the people out there, it was cool. I ran my first loop. I ran a few miles with the guy from Altoona. I ran with the girl from Gettysburg, guy from Grand Rapids, Michigan, the next couple of loops. It was neat just being out there. I mean, it always seemed like whenever we hit that single track is where I ended up connecting with somebody. So it was kind of cool. Definitely made the miles go faster. Low times, I mean, since it was kind of new, I really didn't have many. The mud was probably it was difficult. It was different. Mount Doom wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Not at all.
I actually thought that the section before Mount Doom was actually a little worse because it was a little more technical than Mount Doom. Mount Doom at least had some footholds and stuff where you could, you know, jump on down to, but I didn't think it was too bad.
Yeah.
I actually really enjoyed the creek crossing. So there was extreme crossing. It was a little bit below, for me, it was a little bit below knee level, probably like mid shin level. And I thought that was awesome. It was almost like getting an ice bath every time you like ran across for your feet. And I thought it felt awesome. So I kind of looked forward to that creek crossing, and it almost seemed to like break it up into sections of the race. So, the low points was probably, I ditched my vest after, sorry, I had to click on a thing. I ditched my vest after, I think it was the second loop, first loop. I ditched my vest and cut my poles. And I didn't realize it was actually, the sun was coming out a little bit more than the fog burned off. And I realized by about the third loop that I was starting to not have enough hydration. So I started feeling a little funky there, but I did grab it by the fourth. So I did manage to bring myself back, but I had a little bit of a, and the one between the one aid station, it was about 6.5 miles. Cause you loop back around to that aid station. So I started feeling a little off about halfway through the third loop, but I did recover, recover there. So.
Yeah. It's such a balance between extra weight or, you know, and trying to make it or carrying the extra weight and knowing that you have hydration.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah. So, but no, it was really cool. I mean, it was fun. Really.
I would say that for both of these guests we have on, Derek and Becky, like the key word that fit both of them, and I've known this about Becky for a while, is their consistency. That's what Becky's gifted with is the 100 milers. At least in my opinion, she can just go and she gets tired at the end, but man, she is even throughout that whole race. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the tortoise and the hare type of thing. She always gets to the end faster because she doesn't go out fast and then slow down and all that. And, I've never really got to watch Derek race, but every time he came into the start finish area after his loop, it was like his first loop. I'm like, dude, how you feeling? I'm great. You know, what's the plan? I'm going to get something to eat here and then I'm going to head back out. Okay. Like you're not tired. That's it. So it was fun to watch.
Yeah. I was just kind of like all business. I didn't want to spend really hardly any time in the aid station. I wanted to grab what I could get. Grab something here, get a few calories in me, get in and just get going. So
I want to get to a couple of these questions real quick before we go any farther, before I forget about them. Chip Heath asks, is this a change from last year? Yeah, this course was on a totally different park than last year's Rabid Raccoon. I'm not even sure the distance of last year's loop and exactly where it was, but yes, this was a new location and new trail. Kara asks, was the trail single track? I would say 60% of it maybe was, and there was some double track gravel road. There was some trail along a lake. There was no real running with traffic, so which was nice. But yeah, there was some really cool single track. I kind of called it like a wet noodle. You got on top of this mountain and it literally went all over the place. You could see other people and they seemed to be right there, but really they were like could have been a quarter or a half mile ahead of you because the trail went every which way. I think it was like a mountain bike trails, but they're still pretty neat. Not very technical, I would say, other than maybe a couple of the descents were a little tricky if you're tired, but.
If it wasn't for the mud, it would be so runnable.
Yeah.
I mean, there was only a few different hills that were like majorly needed hiking. Like my first loop, I ran so much, and if it wasn't for the mud, it would be really, really nice running.
Yeah. I was going through it, I'm like, man, this whole entire course is actually runnable, but then you hit that mud, it's like you just get stuck in the mud.
Yeah. It's slide all over.
Some people were trying to go around it, and then it just made more mud and, you know, wider mud. And but yeah, it was a very runnable course. It definitely runnable pretty much the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I think that for the mud, it really depends on your past experience. Like if this was, you know, one of your first trail races, then that mud would have been like, what is happening? This is pretty intense. Yeah. Whereas if you've been running, especially the Northeast, in the North and the South too, I mean, there's a lot of mud. Mud's pretty typical on the East Coast, even in the Midwest. So I think if you're used to the mud already, then you know, you kind of already get a feel for how to navigate it. But for anybody who's not used to the mud, that would have been quite the shocker.
Yeah, and I would say the worst part about this mud, there's a lot of it, but it was very clay consistency, so it was very slippery. Even when you do hit you know, the dirt, I guess you would say, is just it's pure slime, so you can't trust your foot's going to hold very much a lot of the time.
Yeah, and that slippery, slidey mud, that's the stuff that I hate the most, because it does wreak havoc on your tendons, your ligaments, yeah. Because yeah. It's all your stabilizers, because you're trying to keep everything tracking forward, and the mud makes you slip sideways. So right. That's when you get things like IT band issues, because you're just trying to stay upright.
Yeah. And the worst spot was on an incline, was on a climb, actually. Mm-hmm. It was a muddy, steeper climb, and it got to the point where it was just they were out there a lot worse and longer than I was, but it was like, it was hard to get to the top because of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I did want to, you know, take a moment and just note that you did have some fun out there yourself, Eric. You know, you did get an opportunity to run a little bit. You did some miles, even though you've been injured recently. And, you know, we also got this little.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, little, wow, we also got this photo.
It's a gem.
We also got this photo from the race, you know, and I thought this was a great one to share. Really showcases, really showcases those legs.
Oh, wow. That's something right there.
That's a good one there. I like that.
Yeah. That's great. Thanks, Grace.
The highlight was sent over to me, and I just thought I'd share with everybody how you were looking in the middle of the race.
Yeah, I mean, I ran 50 miles. I if I would have felt great, I would have kept going for the 100 probably. But it was more of I was very undertrained to start this race. Mm-hmm. I know that. Mm-hmm. I knew I could have walked 100 miles. That's not really my thing. I think you know that, Grace. It's just, it's not in me to that. That's not my fun. And I did what I until I felt good. I walked a lot of it. Becky passed me at one point. I tried throwing sticks and rocks at her, but she was too far ahead. No, but it was. I was happy. I feel great today. I wanted to be smart and know that. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel good now. I'm healthy now. I'm not sick anymore. Yeah. And go from here. So the 50-mile weekend day was pretty good, in my opinion.
Yeah, 50-mile weekend is huge. It's great progress. You know, you're moving in the right direction. And all of us, all of us out there who are not at the front of the pack can also say, oh, you know, at the front of the pack, sometimes those runners also make the decision to cut the distance short and live to run another day. And that's okay. It's okay at the front of the pack. It's okay at the back of the pack. It's okay in the middle of the pack. And you can still feel good about your weekend. So you know, I appreciate that.
And I agree. And I appreciate you saying that. And the one I was talking to Becky earlier, and I won't go into it too far, but one of the biggest things I struggle with explaining to fellow runners, and we're all over the map of where we are on that mullet. Mm-hmm. But everybody has their own definition of fun. And there's nothing wrong with what their fun is. You can have mm-hmm. fun killing yourself, trying to get first place. You can have fun drinking Fireball all day long at last place, walking your whole race, whether it's a 5K or a 100 miler, mm-hmm. you know? Everybody has their definition of fun. And when you're not having that fun, it doesn't matter where you're at or what position you're in. You don't have to force yourself to not have fun. So that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I do want to touch on this really quickly. You know, I was talking to somebody. It was 1 year after the World's End 100K. I had DNF'd that year. And a friend of mine had also DNF'd. And she is way at the front of the mullet. I'm way at the back of the mullet. And she was miserable at World's End because it's not a runnable course. And she enjoys running. And I had super fun at World's End, even though I also DNF, because I just love that course. It's so much fun to be in it, even if I can't finish it. And right. So that was, to me, it was like, oh, wow, everybody really does have a different definition of what they enjoy and what's fun for them. And just because you're at the front of the pack doesn't mean that you necessarily want the most technical courses out there even. You know, she was like, oh, this is too technical for me. I'm doing too much hiking and I don't like it, you know?
Yeah, yep. She was used to something else and that's what she liked mm-hmm. doing. You know? Yeah, I get that too.
Yeah. So I do want to kick back over to Derek for this question, because you are used to, sir, the roads. Mm-hmm. And so tell us a little bit about that transition experience. What did you find surprising about switching over to trail? And, you know, what was different? What was exciting? Tell us a little bit about those differences and your experience through it.
Oh, I definitely think the people in the trail community it's a huge difference. It's night and day. There's not like pressure. Like when I first came up to Eric's, it was a year ago this past January. And I was like talking to Kip, because Kip Hoffman was my coach in high school. And he actually, okay. I mean, my whole life I've known him for so long. And he actually helped get me, he paced me at Wineglass for my BQ back in 2010.
Wow.
So,
awesome.
I mean, it was cool. So I was like, you know, nervous to go up here. I'm like, oh my gosh, all these people are like these crazy trail people that are like do hundreds of miles. And like, I'm going to like 10 and just die.
Oh, Derek's cutting out. Okay.
You're back. Say that again.
I'm back. I said, it was so cool coming up and to support. I mean, it's nice because it doesn't matter if you're hiking or if you're running, you know, super fast, everybody's supportive. That's the best part. Yeah. I like about it. There's no judgment, whereas in the road community I feel like it's getting more judgy. But I still run roads. I mean, I still like doing it. I like a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. Now it's a little bit of mix of everything.
Yeah, see, I still judge Grace a lot though, and we're both trail runners. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I understand.
I'm pretty judgy.
Yeah.
But everybody, it's just so nice. It's just really cool. Recovery wise too, it's just different. I mean, you get beat up differently, I noticed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from a running a super hard road marathon, I think sometimes I might be more beat up from that.
Yeah.
But it's just different because you don't have I feel like with a trail run, it's more of almost a whole body workout as opposed to more so your legs. Like my arms and stuff are tired today because I use my poles for three out of the five laps.
Mm-hmm.
I needed them for the last loop just because I was not feeling steady on my feet, and they were kind of like my insurance, like my security blanket, I guess. It's like just to keep me going. So I don't know. I have a mile loop around my property that I started training on a little bit just to get used to some trail stuff.
Nice.
But yeah, I'm not a newbie to running, but you know, trail was definitely new within the past 2 years, year and a half, 2 years.
Nice. And there's a surprising amount of upper body work in trail. It's one of those things that, you know, I just in this last block, I used my poles a lot. And I was so thankful that I do a lot of upper body strength work. Usually at least once a week, twice a week, I'm in the gym lifting pretty heavy. And it's because in trail running, you actually do need upper body strength, surprisingly. And it's really just not as necessary in road running. And again, road running is super fun too. It's just not completely different muscles, but it is different in terms of which muscles you're using. Yeah. That's wild. Well,
yeah, and I love both. I mean, when I saw there's a creek crossing, and Kip and Mike Shutt can actually attest to this, I was like, do I change my shoes? Do I bring extra shoes? What do? I had an entire bag. It was my wife's old cheerleading bag from high school that was filled with nothing but shoes because I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna change my shoes. And, my dad, who's, like I said, he was a road runner forever. He's like, oh, I would not want wet feet. Like, you got to change your shoes. And I'm like, I don't know. So I'm like, I'm going to take them with the intent of never changing them. I never did. I just kept the same shoes. And I picked the trail shoes that were comfy and drained well. And it seemed to work out for me. So
I didn't change my shoes either.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been silly. I I guess I understand changing your shoes. It kind of gives you a perk and perks you up a little bit. But bottom line is, within the next 13 miles, you're going to get soaking wet again.
And muddy.
And with the mud, within 5 miles, they're already toast. So you just keep them.
Yeah.
That's what I liked about the stream crossing, was rinsing your shoes out.
Mm-hmm.
With the stream crossing, my daughter and wife spent a lot of time there because there was a playground.
Nice.
So they got to watch a bunch of different stuff happening at that stream crossing. They said there were so many different people taking it, you know, handling it differently. Some people had like garbage bags over their legs trying to go through.
Oh, wow.
Some people had shoes tied around their neck. Like,
oh my gosh.
I saw one dude like wringing his socks out on the side of the creek bank after he crossed.
Wow. So
it was a little entertaining.
All right, real quick, this is your chance to shout out your amazing crew, Derek. Give them credit.
Oh, I mean, my wife, Brianna, Leah, my daughter, your daughter, Lauren, Eric, at the rec center, was awesome. I'd come and I'd go by. She's like, "Do you need anything? What do you need?" I'm like, "I'm good. I'm ready to go." But she was like, "Oh, you're back." So that was pretty cool. Having you there, cheering me on. One of the big highlights that I will point out that I remember. Was on my fourth loop. I just got done with the coming down off of that single track area where it comes down steep, and I was coming to that Four Seasons aid station. I look back behind me and there's Becky. So that was like a huge highlight. And I wasn't feeling the greatest. I mean, I felt good mentally, but physically I was just kind of like, I don't know. I was filling up a Gatorade bottle, water Gatorade. I can't remember what it was because I was so sick of tasting Tailwind. So I went and switched over. And I was putting it back and I'm like, I saw Becky, I was talking to her a little bit. And then I started getting like lightheaded. Just because I'm like, okay, I got to start moving just because I got to go. So then we got to the creek crossing and everything just kind of went boom. It was like a reset went away. And I was talking to Becky for, I don't know, half mile, three quarters of a mile. And that like completely reset me. And I'm like, man, I got like just a loop and a little bit to go. Like, let's just get this darn thing done. So
nice.
But that was like huge. I could see Becky and, you know, it was definitely helped me a lot seeing a familiar face right there.
Yeah,
that's cool. And I want to go back to one of the last questions that Marisa asked a while back. She said, how many aid stations per loop was there? And that was kind of unique layout for the aid stations. They probably used whatever buildings they could, so it turned out that way. But so the start and finish was at the start and finish, obviously, but then 1 mile into the course, into the loop, you had an aid station. And that was an easy mile. It was flat along a little walking path, and then you get to an aid station. And then another mile, you get to another aid station. So the first 2 miles of every loop, you had an aid station. So it was nice because you didn't have to worry too much at the main aid station where the loop restarts that you had all your crap in order, because if you didn't, you get these 2 miles of anything you want again. Mm-hmm. And then after that, there was you went 6.6 miles to the next aid station and then back to the finish.
Yeah.
Nice.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same one. Yeah. And then you went
four. There's what, four aid stations per loop?
Right.
Yeah. Honestly, you could definitely do the loop without a vest if you have a big enough bottle to hydrate with and have a way of carrying it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I use a handheld for the daytime. And then when it was dark, I carried a battery pack and I wore my vest. But during the daytime, I just used a handheld.
Yeah, I should have brought my handheld. I just brought my vest. That was a rookie trail running mistake there, because I would have been fine, I think.
Yeah.
With that third, you know, that second loop, I dished it because it was foggy when we started. So I wasn't like really sweating too bad. And that sun wasn't there. But I think when the sun started beating down, I needed a little bit more hydration. So rookie mistake on that one for me.
Yeah.
Now.
Go ahead, Grace.
So switching over to trail, one of the things that is typically different between road and trail is the food. So what delicious treats did you have during your 100K?
Oh, man. I wrote this out in a text. I'm going to have to check my phone to see exactly what I had, because I was texting my brother-in-law and sister-in-law. They're like, do you eat there? Because they don't know anything about really running. And they're like, well, how do you eat? Like, and go to the bathroom and stuff. So I told them, like, so here's my list of what I had. Because when I went to Eric's, I always tried like a little bit here and there. And then at home, I would try eating. And my wife's always telling me, she's like, you need to eat before you run. I'm like, but I'm running. She's like, no, you need to eat because this is different. So I did a little bit, probably not enough, but I held it together pretty good. I only had some stomach issues. I had stomach issues right around the same time when I saw Becky, and she was kind of going through the same thing, just mild. And I wasn't say it was a big issue, but I had to do something a little different. I think I was a little low on salt. So my food I had pierogies, which I love.
Nice.
I had some bacon. Uh-huh. They had baked potatoes in a cup with butter and sugar or butter and salt on them, which is great because I could grab it and eat it on the way out of the rec center. It was gone, through in the garbage by the time I was done. So I tried picking everything that I could kind of grab and go. So I didn't want to spend really more than a minute or two in the aid station. Like if I could get everything done, get in there, get out.
Yeah.
Cause reading on the road, I mean, it's like when I was a little kid, my dad taught me like paper cups, grab, crush, drink, go, you know, that's it. So, so potatoes in a cup, noodles and broth. So it was ramen noodles, I think. That was awesome because it was in a cup. I could just kind of slug it down. They had peanut butter fudge on the first loop. That was kind of cool.
Ooh,
I grabbed that and tasted it. It had peanuts in it too. So that was good. Grilled cheese, which is awesome. Cheese quesadilla had like, and they're all bite size.
Yeah.
Tortellini soup, Pringles. And then, so one of the things I did, and you're going to probably laugh at this, but it was kind of a mental game. You saw they had the Jolly Ranchers at the aid stations there. So what I did was, it was like, I think this third loop. And cherry's my favorite, followed by grape. So I would actually grab Jolly Ranchers, threw a bunch of them in my pocket. And I got to thinking, it's like, okay, when I get past that first mud section, like where before it goes to single track, I'm going to, once it gets to single track, I'm going to reward myself with a Jolly Rancher. And then I'm like, once I get across the creek, I'm going to do another one. And like, once I get up to the top before you do the descent, I'm going to like, I was kind of, my brother laughed. He's like, so you're like a little kid. If you run to this tree, I'll give you a Jolly Rancher. I'm like, yeah, but like mentally it helped get me through.
Whatever works.
So, yeah.
It
treats.
Worked. And I was like, and I saw like that last loop, I grabbed like a handful of cherry Jolly. I had like three cherry Jolly Ranchers. I'm like, all right, I'm saving these things. Once I get up to that top, you know, that last part, I'm going to do it. And yeah, so that's what I did. It worked. So
yeah. Yeah, treats. If you can just reward runners with like cookies and stickers, like they will be very happy. They'll keep running for forever if you reward them with candy, a hug, you know, all of those things. It's probably the same stuff that you do with your students, Becky. You know, give them a sticker, give them a high five.
Yep. Tootsie Rolls and some Smarties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But that's what we need.
It worked though. I mean, it was definitely the, you know, the mental game. It was getting me, you know, kind of back on board, but yeah.
Awesome. All right. Any fun things, Becky, that you got to eat?
I pretty much stuck to the same thing all the way through the day. I was eating part peanut butter and jelly, part grilled cheese every time, and Coke.
Nice.
It was just quick and easy. I don't really like to stay at the aid station. I probably stayed longer than I normally would because I was with Abby, but it was worth it for the company. So it was like, okay, as long as, you know, I wasn't in any hurry because I want, you know, it's a long day.
Yeah.
Once my stomach started getting kind of ill, I ate soup a couple times, but for the most part, I stuck to grilled cheese.
Nice. That's one of those fun things that, you know, the difference, there's great things about road races and great things about trail races. And in trail races, we get to hear about all the fun foods.
Yeah.
Nice. And Tyler had just put into the chat, they had dried mango at one aid station. Brought me joy each time.
Yum.
Dried mango. I like dates with peanut butter too. Yeah. Oh, so yummy.
I like pizza.
Classic.
Yeah,
I sipped on ginger ale because that seems to always help my stomach. So that was like, that's one thing that I tried, and that's even like during road races, like I would go with the ginger ale. I found that one out because I did candlelight, but it was not the candlelight that you guys did. It was on a paved road trail. It was a road course, mile loop. You had to do it with my brother. I didn't know what the heck I was doing, so we basically went out and ran 27 miles as fast as we could and said, oh yeah, we ran more than a marathon. And we just walked the rest of the night. But so I had a little experience there with that, but my stomach hurt after that.
Ginger ale is the ticket.
Oh yeah.
I was excited in my last race because my sister brought me Verner's, and you can't get Verner's out on the East Coast.
What is
it? None of you know what Verner's is. It's ginger ale, but it's really good ginger ale with real ginger.
So I had a bite from it then.
Yeah.
So we had quite a few friends that were out at this race, and quite a few of them are supporters of the show, are supporters of the Idiot Runner brand and lifestyle. So I want to give a couple of shout outs before we go any farther. Is that all right?
Yeah, and do all the shout outs.
Tyler is saying the comment about the mango remind me of this. What were you going to say?
You do a shout out and I'm going to like whoop behind you. Okay.
All right. We can try it. So first we'll go with Tyler. Now, Tyler Upham, I coach with him. He coaches cross country with me. He coaches the middle school team. Don't whoop yet.
Okay.
He finished his first 100K out there. He was fifth overall, which blew his mind. Don't whoop yet. Let me talk this through real quick. Just hold your whoop in.
Okay.
Pretty neat thing that the race does is for the first five finishers of every race, they give a miniature, probably about a foot high, metal trash can with a lid and everything. Probably going off like the trash panda thing or the trash raccoons getting in trash, but I thought it was pretty neat. He got that for coming in fifth place on his first 100K finish ever. So great job, Tyler. Go, Grace. No, we kind of hung out with him. Lauren and his wife Hannah hung out together. They were an awesome crew, so it was a good time there. Some couple other ones I want to shout out real quick. Emily Nicolau Feibel, she went out and ran the 100K and won it. She is a athlete of mine. She is a strong Idiot Runner supporter, and she's doing the Triple Crown this year. So she has a phenomenal start to her year.
Yeah. Pew, 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 pew.
You didn't do a whoop for that.
I'm changing it up.
Okay.
She gets a pew, pew. Pew.
The Mr. Josh Boyer, who is listening and watching the show right now. Dude finished his 100 miler. He's doing 400s this year. He's doing 100 for every season, which is his own little dream that he dreamed up, which I think it's a cool idea. So doing 100 for every season of the year. He finished about 20 minutes-ish ahead of Becky. Had a phenomenal day, phenomenal crew. Cool to see him finish. So great job, Josh.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
Let's see. I'm going to miss people too, so forgive me if I do. I got to run with Jason Karpinski a little bit. He also dropped at 50 miles because he is running the Dark Skies 200-mile, first 200-miler in PA in 3 weeks. So good luck to him. He's an awesome dude. If you haven't run with him or don't know him, that you should.
Boop, 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 boop.
And that was really good effects you did there. That just made the whole show. Everybody else that was out there, who did I miss that I'm not thinking of? I don't want to leave anybody out. Everybody who was out there did a great job.
There was a whole group that did the Trash Panda.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people I knew that deserve shout outs. Kim Nelson, Jane Cohn.
Bunch of people.
Yeah, a lot of cool people. So great job to everybody.
There were a lot of I knew some people, the Trail Sisters Pittsburgh group were out there volunteering. So shout out to that group. Really awesome people.
Nice. Yeah. Cool event though. I mean, they do a really good job at hyping it up to what these races should be and feel like. I mean, when you came across the finish line or into the arena, they made you feel like you were a star, you know, which is pretty neat. You never make me feel like I'm special, Grace.
You know, I try, and it's just so hard to live up to your high expectations that are quite frankly unreasonable. And so I will keep trying and keep disappointing you. Maybe someday it'll come through.
Doubtful.
Yeah, it's fine.
Oh man, Derek, what's next for you?
Oh, so what's next for me in about 9-10 Memorial Day weekend, I'm doing Buffalo Road Marathon. So I got to go from trail. Now I got to turn over to speed. So now I got to do some speed work, which I've I never liked speed work, but now I like it even less. So now I got to get some speed back in these legs of mine. So that the following week we do Kip Hoffman. You've probably seen him put out about the, I know it's the same weekend as World's End, but we have the Just Fix 5K that him and my dad actually put on. It's a memorial race for a girl that was a couple years older than me and my mother who died of cancer in 2006. So we do that. This will be, we've done it every year since 07, except for the COVID year. So got that 5K. So if nobody's busy that weekend, come on down. John Johnson was there last year. So that's where I got to officially meet him. And he won the Masters. He kicked so much butt there. It was fun.
Yeah.
Was awesome. Then after that, hopefully I'm doing a fun event in Wellsboro, something up there. In Idiot Land. That's always something to look forward to. And I'm actually dragging my little brother along, who's strictly a road runner.
Nice.
He is gonna come up, so that'll be interesting to see. He's younger than me. He started running. He was a baseball player, and now he's caught the running bug just like his brother and dad. So
did this race you just completed, this 100K, did it make you itch in places to do anything longer?
Depends on the hour.
Yeah. I know. Fair enough. It's early yet. I'll ask you in a week, but it's early yet.
my daughter just laughed. after your fun run, then I am doing Twisted Branch. So that's kind of been my A race for the year, is what I kind of set myself out for. Nice. And then when I saw this was coming up for the Rabid Raccoon, I'm like, and I saw it was really the whole thing is I'm like, I have 33 hours to do this. Like, I just want to get this mileage under. I want to be able to say that I finished it before, because I know Twisted Branch has the cutoff. It's 20 hours, but the cutoffs at the stations are pretty, pretty strict. So I wanted to kind of just make sure that I could do it and give me something to train for before I went into it. I only live 20-30 minutes from where Twisted Branch is started and part of the course. So I can actually, get to train on a lot of the course, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But that's really my A race for the year. So this was awesome. Just kind of, and I went back through and checked all my splits and I made sure I was like getting close, I was well ahead of where my cutoffs were. So nice. That's what I'm really looking forward to in August is doing Twisted Branch. Cool. Because Twisted Branch, I actually have pacers. So I'm using my cousin, good, Ashley Durr. And then my brother was supposed to be, but he's got a wedding to go to. So he bailed on me because he's lame. But I got a hold of Kristen Brouse, Kip Hoffman's sister, which we've known each other since we were like 4 years old. So, and we've ran so many miles together. So kind of a no brainer there. Asked her if she would do it. So she's going to pace me for, I think starting at the 40 mile mark. And then my cousin Ashley Durr, she's going to bring me in for the last section. So it'll be really kind of cool. So but that's what I got. Got to get some speed back in these legs and go to Buffalo where it's flat and Memorial Day. So.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Becky?
I have nothing.
Woohoo!
I don't know. I'm looking, thinking. I haven't really. I wanted to do Oil Creek again, but I'm waiting to see if cross country conflicts with it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure it's going to.
Yeah.
Hmm. There's all kinds of fun stuff out there.
Yeah.
That was one thing with Twisted Branch. It's like right around, because I coach cross country up here for Whalen Cohocton, I'm like the assistant coach and stuff. And I did Steamtown this past fall, and luckily it was on a weekend where we didn't have a meet or an invitational. But Twisted Branch, I think, is the Saturday after our first week of practice. So it doesn't really conflict with any of the cross country stuff. So I might be able to drag a couple of the kids along to, maybe cheer. So since it's so close, it's right in our backyard.
Fun. Oh man, you have a fun year ahead of you. Twisted Branch, I think, is such a good choice for an A race.
It is.
So yeah, I think that's one that deserves someone's full attention, Nicely done. Congratulations on your 100K, Derek. Best of luck at Twisted Branch and all the other fun adventures in between. What, Derek, what are you up to this weekend? What do you got planned?
Oh, not Well, we're going to a hockey game. I know that's about it. Probably gonna get some, I'll obviously get some running in. It's gonna be switched over to road stuff. Obviously, but yeah, we're going up to Rochester for an Amherst game. It'll be kind of fun. So
yeah.
But awesome. No, not running wise. Like I ran today, so I started feeling better. Just make sure nothing's injured. Everything's just sore.
Yeah.
It was funny because my left foot was a little swollen. It wasn't bad, and I sent a picture to Kip and Mike Shutt, and they're like, "Did you even run 100K?" And I'm like, "Trust me, I did. I feel it." But no, I'm gonna get some, you know, get back to training, and it's a pretty quick turnover from going from this to that. So I'm gonna try to get some speed in and see what I can do. I'd like to be 3:30, 3:35. So that's kind of where I'm shooting for. I ran a 3:39 at Steamtown, which was huge compared to the year before because I kind of took a little hiatus from running. I got injured a bunch in 2015, and then I gained like a million pounds. So it was kind of a struggle, honestly. But getting to actually, you know, coming up last winter up to Becky and Eric's there kind of helped get that fire burning back in me. So it was a lot. So it was kind of huge. I looked at my picture from Wine Glass from 2022 compared to Steamtown, and I dropped like an hour and 5 minutes and like 80 pounds. So it was pretty nice to kind of get back into almost back into where I used to be. So
nice.
Yeah, you look good, man.
Thanks. I still got a little ways to go, but yeah. But yeah,
awesome.
It's definitely good, and just keep moving.
I mean,
like Eric told me before the race, is like, just keep moving forward, man. Just keep going.
Yep. Keep eating and keep moving forward. Between those two things, you are good to go.
Exactly. Right? So yeah, it was fun. I think one of the things that really, you know, got me even thinking about doing 100K is I did crew and pace Kip at Eastern States, which was just awesome. It was so cool to see. I mean, it was just, and after I'm watching, I'm like, man, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to do something like this. And then I got to thinking, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try. So it was just kind of inspiring to see all you guys out there doing that. It's just amazing.
Love it.
So cool. So yeah, I'm excited. Like I said, got cross country season coming up in the fall. We're going to do some stuff in the summertime with the kids and run. I got some trail weekends planned with some of the, I'm going to do probably a small trail run every weekend with some of the kids or every other, get them out there. And then get my 5-year-old out with us and some of her friends so we can try to, you know, bring more kids on to running when they're younger. So
cool. Well, thanks for spending time with us.
Oh yeah, no problem.
So, Grace, what are you doing this weekend?
Oh, I am headed to the Robberitos Gut Run Challenge.
Gut Run.
The Gut Run, which is either a 50K or a half marathon with 5 or 4 stops at a Robberitos location, which is a local burrito restaurant, quick service restaurant that has delicious burritos. And Rob's the owner, super nice guy. And I'm going to volunteer. So I'm going to watch people eat burritos and run, and I'm just going to eat burritos.
Yeah, that's
big are these, how big are these burritos? Are
they? They're huge. They're so big.
Yeah, I can attest to that. They're not your Taco Bell prep.
Yeah, they're pretty big. And I think like they make them a little bit smaller than their traditional burritos, depending on the location. But as you go further in the race, the burritos get bigger. Yeah. So it's a fun challenge. It's, you know, kind of low key, you self-navigate. It's a lot of fun. People dress up. I dress up. There's usually a couple people at least in burrito costumes. I think registration is still open. It's fun. You get a little passport and you get a little stamp at each one of the locations and you put your name on the passport. Eric Furry is the race director along with Rob from Robberitos, and the two of them just do a super good job of making it fun I don't know, just kind of something fun to put in the middle of your schedule. So,
yep.
Chris is going to be there. Chris is coming down. Chris Young is coming down. So we get an impressive amount of people who travel for this race. And I don't know, it's a neat little invention that the two of them cooked up, and I am happy to volunteer for it.
Yeah, it is. It is a cool little unique thing that's different than what we're used to. I like
that. Yeah. Yeah, I think I saw like a month ago or something like that, somebody put out there some Taco Bell challenge. And I'm like, oh, man, no. Copycats. Raw Burritos Gut Run Challenge is where it's at, you know?
Yeah.
That's the original. Don't do Taco Bell. That's cardboard. Come to the Raw Burritos Run instead.
Although I'll give a shout out to Clayton Bouchard. He used to do a Sheetz run, 100-mile Sheetz run. And the Sheetz were the aid stations, basically. And he planned it out where, like, they were, you know, the aid station. You get whatever you need to and continue on to the next Sheetz. I thought that was a pretty cool idea.
Now, Clayton, Sheetz has some delicious aid station fare. Yeah. You can get a grilled cheese there. You can get a peanut butter jelly there.
Yeah.
You would be set, Becky. Yeah. I mean, Clayton, I would love to know the route. I'm in. I take the challenge. I got a couple other things to do first, but yeah. Becky, what are you doing this weekend?
I don't have anything really.
Fun.
No, we're pretty empty this year. I mean, she's recovering still this weekend. I'm excited because I feel normal again, as normal as I ever will feel, I guess.
Normal.
Yeah.
But I do feel like I have a little bit of work ahead to get back to where I want to be. So it's going to take a while, but I do have some ideas that I heard you have some ideas too, but I do have some ideas of some things I might want to do this year. So hopefully at least one of them could pan out, but we'll see.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in. Thank you, Derek, for coming on the show. Thank you, Becky, for gracing us with your presence. It's always so awesome to see you. And for gracing us with the presence of your giant belt. So congratulations.
That thing is awesome.
It is awesome.
That is awesome.
And Eric, congratulations on your 50 miles with an awesome attitude about it. That's so great to see. And congratulations to everybody who got to run this past weekend. You're all awesome. And thanks for listening. And that's awesome too.
Yeah, you're awesome, Grace.
Thanks, Eric.
Next week is episode 56. It's gonna be six. It's gonna be sick.
Yeah, sick, like cool, like super awesome. So tune in next week.
Yeah.
Ready, set, go. Bye.
Yeah.